Now, takeout services like Uber Eats and DoorDash skyrocketed in popularity during the pandemic. Now, whether it be Italian, Thai, Mexican, Japanese, the list goes on, pretty much anything you crave can now be ordered with just a few simple clicks. But as these platforms have surged in popularity, so does the grey area around rights and entitlements for gig workers in the independent food delivery service. Now, today, the Transport Workers Union has struck a landmark agreement for better working conditions with the food delivery platform DoorDash. Now, the deal sets out safety and fairness standards for gig workers and backs the need for enforceable, industry-wide standards set by an independent body. Now, Susan Moriarty is the principal lawyer of Susan Moriarty and Associates, and she specialises in employment law. And she joins me on the line now. Susan, great to have you on 4BC Drive.
Thank you, Scott.
Now, this agreement, the TWU is saying it is a landmark agreement. Do you see it as this? Is this really the first kind of agreement like this we've seen in Australia?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's an enormously significant agreement, probably because it represents the beginning of the end of the disruptor model of business.
Now, what do you mean by that? Because I know that we understand that with the digital disruption across a whole sector, and they'd say that they shake up traditional business. Why do you say it's the end of that?
Because the this industry agreement establishes that these particular workers are not in fact independent contractors, as has long been ascertained, but they are in fact workers, and they are subject to the control of the technology platforms, with the consequence that they should be entitled to the normal wages and conditions of employment that apply to people who are not employed by technology platforms.
All right. And so we've looked at gig workers, the rise of gig workers over the last, 10 years, I guess, now. And they have been seen as different, treated differently. So you're saying that now almost they're going to be treated like every other worker out there.
Yes, and it's not just occurring in Australia, Scott. It is the case that in the last 2 years, in both the USA and the UK, the Supreme Court in both of those jurisdictions has held that Uber drivers are not independent contractors, but are in fact workers and therefore entitled to certain basic entitlements.
All right, this is a deal between the TWU and the food delivery platform DoorDash. All right, so it's just one agreement. So why necessarily will we see that agreement spread to other areas of the gig economy?
Because both the special counsel for the employer and the TWU both agreed that one of the most important principles of this agreement will be the establishment of what they call an industry-wide regulatory framework regarding minimum wages and other protections. And in addition to that, the agreement also scopes that the Fair Work Commission will have a regulatory function in regard to the enforcement of these particular rights across the industry. So while DoorDash is certainly a pioneer and a very desirable pathfinder, the clear implication of this is that it will be a national strategy regarding all of the technology platforms that engage in transportation.
So Uber and Uber Eats, Deliveroo, all those,
correct.
You can see them all, yes, coming under this eventually.
Yes, indeed.
Well,
yes,
how quickly do you think that will happen?
Well, it will be hastened by a Labor government. As I heard you talking before, it's very clear that Anthony Albanese, as the Labor leader, has made insecure work the focus of his election bid. And if he's elected on the 21st of May, the priority that the Labor Party has given to insecure work and permitting the rise of wages in this country is likely to be given a first priority. And so I would imagine that if we wake up on the 22nd of May and there's a Labor government in power, that we would expect things to move very quickly in terms of the regulation of independent contractors and their conversion into workers with minimum pay entitlements and other entitlements to health and safety measures.
All right, so almost you're getting these digital disruption companies being brought into the same regime as applies to all the other businesses out there. Does that mean that some of these businesses may not survive because the model they had may not work under a more traditional regime?
No, Scott, that wouldn't be a fear. These particular companies are transnational in origin and practice. So that, for example, DoorDash has just revealed 48 hours ago in releasing its quarterly report that it made just over $1 billion in the three-month period expiring on the 31st of March this year. These companies are enormously profitable. Uber, for example, employs over 45,000 drivers in London alone. These are extremely profitable enterprises, and the notion that they cannot afford to pay their workers a minimum wage or provide them with protections in terms of health and safety is just not one that can be made out economically.
Susan Moriarty, fascinating to see what could be happening and the changes that are, well, they're coming, as you say. Appreciate you being on 4BC Drive this afternoon.
Thank you, Scott.